Zulu, good evening Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, November 8th, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. The MTCT says it is likely to look into its nomination process for office following the fall of rising party star Nelson Chamisa in the just-ended elective Congress.
What we need to do is to go back to the drawing board as a party, in particular the department that I chair, the elections department, and look at probably our nomination process.
People living with disabilities say the majority of handicapped Zimbabweans have become beggars due to lack of state support.
The situation for disabled people here in Zimbabwe is pathetic. In each and every shop around Harare, people move around begging door to door, getting 1 rand, 2 rand, a packet of rice, a packet of mankuti.
And former students of a primary school in Zimbabwe pulled their resources to help the school, which is facing several challenges.
The former students said that it's time that we give back to this school, which nurtured us while we were young. It's a small contribution which we are making to motivate the youngsters, most of whom maybe are lacking basic resources in their day-to-day work.
The MTCT says it is likely to look into its nomination process for office following the surprise fall of rising party star Nelson Chamisa in the just-ended elective Congress. Re-elected chairman Lebo Moyo says the outcome of the tight contest between eventual winner of the powerful post of Secretary-General Douglas Monzora and Chamisa has resulted in a lot of talk within the party about the grassroots nomination process. Moyo speaks to Studio 7's Chris Gandhi about what may be done in the wake of Chamisa's loss after he was nominated by more provinces than Monzora.
In terms of the business that we transacted, we are quite satisfied as leadership, as we managed to come up with a roadmap that is going to lead us to 2018. Of course, we are mindful that the situation may change any time, even the challenges that this country is facing.
There was this case of Nelson Chamisa having lost an election after he had been nominated by more provinces than his opponent. What are you going to do about that?
I think what we need to do is to go back to the drawing board as a party, in particular the department that I chair, the elections department, and look at probably our nomination process and analyze whether are we doing the right thing in that process of nomination, given that in most cases only provincial council members are the ones who sit and nominate candidates for various positions. And above provincial councils at provincial level, we've got what we call provincial assembly, which is bigger than the provincial council. So it could be that one may win a vote of a provincial council, which is a smaller body, and go on to lose a nomination of the provincial assembly. The contestation between Monzora and Chamisa was very close at the nomination level, where a gap, a difference of 5 votes, 10 votes, was recorded in many of the votes that took place. So that alone shows you that they were very close and they were not too far apart. So I'm not surprised that Monzora went on to win, because the nomination itself indicated that this was a close race, even though eventually Chamisa was nominated by the majority of our provinces.
That was MTCT Chairman Lebo Moyo speaking with Studio 7's Chris Gande from Bulawayo. People living with disabilities say the majority of handicapped Zimbabweans have become beggars due to lack of state support. Simon Mvindi of the Visually Impaired Strategic Trust of Zimbabwe says at least 14,000 Zimbabweans who used to receive $20 a month from the Department of Social Welfare are no longer getting the cash benefits. Mvindi, who is visually impaired, tells Studio 7 this has forced most of them to beg for money and food.
The situation for disabled people here in Zimbabwe is pathetic. They are failing to access so many things every Friday in each and every shop around Harare. People move around begging door to door. They're getting 1 rand, 2 rand, a packet of rice, a packet of mamputi, maybe $1 for those who are quite generous. And that's not a living for a normal human being. Respect, we are losing respect. But every day you are knocking at someone asking for help. Someone, that person is already depressed. Another instance is that the government itself is not paying the PA, public allowance, to the disabled people. We pressurized initially with my fellow guys. They only did it for 2 months, but in batches, went the whole country.
Can you tell us, Mr. Mvindi, about the allowance that you're supposed to get? How much money are you supposed to get from the government, and what has happened to that allowance?
The public allowance has been cut off since 2011. Government has this money to pay. We staged a peaceful demonstration in May 2018, and then they started paying up the allowance with $20 a month. Then suddenly they stopped.
That was Simon Mvindi of the Visually Impaired Strategic Trust of Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7 from Kwekwe Midlands Province. An official in the Department of Social Welfare in Kwekwe said government will look into this issue.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Former students of a primary school in Bulawayo's Makwekwe Heights density suburb have pooled resources to help the school, which is facing several challenges. Interim president of Mkhali Primary School All Students Association, Kumbulani Ndlovu, says former students currently living outside the country and those in Zimbabwe have raised over $500 to help the school in providing constant water supplies and other basic necessities. Ndlovu tells Studio 7 they will soon be sponsoring various prizes for excelling students.
The former students felt that it's time that we give back to this school, which nature does while we were young. And there's a way of expressing our gratitude to the grooming which we received from that school. We thought that we should form an association and mobilize support to assist the school in various ways. So we've carried out visits to the school, and we've identified the needs. For example, we note that with the current economic situation in the country, there are a lot of problems related to the economic challenges. There is a shortage of books. Infrastructure needs to be maintained. But over and above that, we also found that there is a problem with the water situation in the school. Actually, we found a terrible situation whereby pupils don't have access to water. And this is an urban school. And during our time, we never experienced that problem. So we felt maybe these are some of the issues which, as former students, we can mobilize resources and assist the school.
So we understand that you will soon be presenting some cash to the school for the prize-giving day. Tell us a bit about this.
Right. The school contacted us that they will be having a prize-giving day on the 21st of November. And we arranged that one of our MOSA members, Dr. Kupugile Mlambo, who is the Deputy Governor of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, be the guest of honor. So in relation to that, again, we've mobilized funds to sponsor the prizes which are going to be given on that day. Sponsoring the prize giving, we feel that it motivates the students who will have excelled this year. It also inspires others who are following on behind to do better so that next time they can also get the same prizes. It's a small contribution which we are making to motivate the youngsters, most of whom maybe are lacking basic resources in their day-to-day work.
That was Kumbulani Ndlovu, interim president of Mkhali Primary School All Students Association, speaking with Studio 7 from the Zambian town of Kasama in the Northern Province. Some communal farmers say they are not accessing state-sponsored agricultural inputs being distributed by the government. Farmers in Mtare and Victoria Falls tell Studio 7 only supporters of the ruling party are getting the inputs. Mpumelelo Kumbo of Victoria Falls says this should be rectified by the government.
Some other people are denied those particular seeds. And at the end of the day, those people who are given seeds don't have even fields where they can plant those seeds. And they end up probably selling them to those people who have got the land to till. So it's a very disappointing situation. And those people who are given, they are given on condition that they support that ruling party. If they don't, then there's no opportunity for them to get that type of seat.
Is there any way that seat can be distributed not along party lines?
People who are living in the rural areas, some of them, they haven't got even a single US dollar. They don't have money to buy seed. So they only depend on these handouts, you know, seed which is given out by the government. So there's no way they can get seed other than waiting for the government to give them. People are looking forward to the change of leadership. Leaders must change.
That was Victoria Falls farmer Mpumelelo Lukumbo speaking to Studio 7 from Victoria Falls. We also spoke to Mutare farmer Mutungarungwa Chitsitso, who says the state should always ensure that people access inputs a few months before the start of the new crop season.
Without the assistance of our government, I think it's going to be very difficult for us to purchase those inputs.
What would have been ideal in this kind of case, you know, in terms of you as farmers preparing for the crop season?
Had it been that the government was doing what they used to do before, because by now we should have received farming inputs from the GMB, but they have since stopped it because of irregularities that were going on during those days.
Now, looking at preparations for the crop season, every time there is a problem in Zimbabwe, how best can this be handled?
It needs collective action, of which I believe it still goes back to the government to subsidize all important agricultural inputs.
That was Mutare farmer Mutungarungwa Chitsitso speaking with Studio 7 from Mutare. Government officials declined to comment, only saying that they are not aware of any irregularities in the distribution of agricultural inputs for the forthcoming season. Now it's time for the Women's Forum with Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. Today we are looking at some of the women that are surviving outside of Zimbabwe, where we take a journey through Sarah Chinzara in South Africa, where she says she is vending local and imported products to the local South African market. Miss Chinzara will take us through the journey that she is traveling as she tries to make a living for her family. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Miss Chinzara.
Okay.
Miss Chinzara, you are in South Africa. What are you doing there?
In South Africa, I'm just doing many things here. I usually go to Zimbabwe and buy things from Zimbabwe and come and sell here.
What type of things are you selling there in South Africa?
It depends. Sometimes I sell linen, bed spread, pots, duvet, blankets. It depends. I can see these things on market. Things on demand so that I can sell them.
Take us through your day as a vendor based there in South Africa. Like, what do you do when you wake up? What do you do to take your stuff to the market? What do you do? How do you sell your stuff?
Me, usually, I just go to departments. I've got the customers in departments. Sometimes I use some pamphlets and I show them my pamphlets. They phone to me. What things have you got? I just tell them I want such things and they phone to me. Bring a duvet, bring a blanket. That's what I do most of the time.
And is life easy there in South Africa? Tell us about where you live.
Actually, as compared to my country, it's very difficult when you are staying in a foreign country. Like here, everybody sometimes always walk with a knife, with a gun. Even daylight, they can rob you. Daylight, they can rape you. So it's very, very, very difficult. If, especially they can identify you that you can't even speak their language. They can easily target you. That is with a lot of money. Yet maybe you haven't anything in your pocket.
So how do you manage to fit into the society so that you don't stick out as a Zimbabwean woman?
It's just God who is protecting us here. It's not on my own mind. It's only God who protects us.
Tell me about your family. Did you leave any children at home, and how old are they?
And the first born is 25 years old, and the other one is 10 years old, the other one 4 years, and the other one is 2 years, not mentioning my extended family. I'm a mother looking about more about 14 people. my family under me.
So how do you manage to do it? And then also, who is looking after the children while you're there in South Africa?
My parents are still alive. They are looking after those children. What I do, I just send money. They phone me. We also communicate on phone. When there's a problem, they just phone me. When I've got money, I just send money to home.
How do you send the money? And are you able, on a monthly basis, to send a certain amount of money? Or how do you do that?
I usually do on a monthly basis. When I collected my money, I just send money like monthly. We use that as mkuru.com. We put our money at the shops, wherever they put it, and they give you reference number so that person can go with his or her ID and collect that money at any bank in Zimbabwe.
And also, what would you like to see change in Zimbabwe so that you can get back to staying with your family?
I think maybe when we use our own currency, I think maybe things are going to be all right. We are just praying that one day maybe it will be the Zimbabwe which we know 20 years ago.
Time is not on our side. Thank you for having been our guest, Miss Sarah Chinzara, here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Okay, my pleasure.
The Women's Forum was hosted by Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. And finally, in sports news, Chapungu FC clash with Black Rhinos tomorrow in a Castellaka Premier Soccer League match in Kweru. Chiredzi vs Triangle, Wange vs FC Platinum, Chapani Mine clash with Highlanders FC, Caps United vs Harare City, and Bantu Rovers clash with How Mine. Now to recap today's top stories. The MDCT says it is likely to look into its nomination process for office following the fall of rising party star Nelson Chamisa in the just-ended elective Congress. People living with disabilities say the majority of handicapped Zimbabweans have become beggars due to lack of state support. And former students of a primary school in Bulawayo's Makokwe High Desert Suburb have pooled resources to help the school, which is facing several challenges. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C. Good night.